The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. Hey guys, welcome into episode 51 of Coffee and Shell. Today's episode, we are going to go over everything from the start of the 2022-2023 NHL season and break down all of the surprises, all of the overachievers and underachievers, and everything that happened in the week that was the beginning of the NHL season. I'm Sleeves, joined by Kesso and Padre. And let's just get right into it, fellas. Padre, walk us through some of the bigger news items that happened, and then we'll get into the actual NHL teams.
Yeah, so far in the season, I think the biggest thing, and it's actually happening off the ice, is the Board of Governors meeting that happened today. I know it's not really the most exciting thing for hockey fans, but it's a big deal down the line. I mean, I firmly believe the cap will be up to $100 million, I would say, within the next 5 to 6 years.
Freeman,
I'm going to ballpark it.
Well.
Yeah, and I just think, with the owners, you know, getting paid back the $1.1 billion escrow because of COVID, that's huge. You know, some of these teams, you know, some of these people freak out about these contracts that they're seeing right now. And I mean, Austin Matthews might make $15 million, honestly, because of what's going to happen.
Because it's going to go up. What team do you think benefit? It's definitely Toronto. Outside of Toronto, what teams do you think will benefit the most if it goes up to around 100 in like 3 or 4 years?
Well, obviously, Tampa, Vegas, you know, they're the ones that have been doing the most cap juggling the last few years. Just any team that's willing to spend to the cap that, you know, has a rich owner, pretty much. You know, I think the Blues, for my example, at least in St. Louis, I think we'll still spend relatively close to the cap, but I don't know if we'll go all the way up. I mean, $100 million is a lot.
That is a lot. Like, when you're talking about a sport like a hockey franchise, $100 million a year is like getting into the realm of like, man, I don't, there's not, like, what would you think of the percentage of teams that spends within 10% or maybe 5% of the limit? Like, what do you think the number of teams is? Because I bet it's less than people think.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just do number of teams. I'm gonna say out of 32 teams, I'm gonna say 12 or 13, maybe.
Yeah, I can see that too. Like, Seattle's not going to. Like, Arizona's not going to. The Sharks won't. Like, there's quite a few, I think, that. Like, because like $100 million, you've got to be like, you know, owned by like Roger, like MLSE, like Toronto. Like, you've got to have an absolute huge bankroll to fund that.
I don't even think all the Canadian teams will. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think a lot of
the big thing is like if you get up to $100 million and you don't make the playoffs, because the playoffs is where the owners make all their money,
right?
Because like all the gate revenue, everything, like the players don't get paid in the playoffs. So like that would imagine you spend the cap at $100 million, you don't make the playoffs. Like, holy smokes, that's brutal.
How many teams spend to the ceiling right now?
I don't know. Like, I have to go do that. I didn't think about that until he brought.
Because I'd imagine it'd be the same, right?
It's like, gotta be close, yeah. But the cap has been static for so long now, though. That you know, there's probably a few teams that are just used to it. Like, you know what I mean? It's used to it. It's such a big. It's gonna be a big jump though. Once all the escrow is paid back, and it's after the season, that's when it looks like it's going to be done by. So that'll be pretty crazy.
Yeah, and they're saying it could rise up $4 million in 2023-24, which, like, that's a lot considering the last few years. Is that's a lot for the last few years at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other news. Obviously, I think we all saw the Ian Cole allegations. He ended up not getting suspended.
That's terrifying.
Yeah,
like
it's just
a couple of reasons. I don't know if you guys like got into it and read everything. Because like it got said that it was not true, right? Or at least they did an investigation as much as they could in 2 days, which maybe is not doing their full due diligence. But you know, it was only 2 days long. But like, the fact that an anonymous Twitter account can tweet that and then it gets that much traction. That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like, you know, it was proved, it was said that there was nothing to this, but the fact that he got suspended from the team, the league had a meeting with him and all that, obviously, which needed to be done, the investigation needed to be done, but it's just terrifying that we're in a day and age now where, like, dude, it's just a random Twitter account, you know? And, right. And scary, man. Like, that's scary.
It's just, it's crazy, too, because, I mean, you know, like you said, anybody can do it, and they said they reached out to the person or whoever the Twitter account was, and no one replied. So, I mean, if it was true, and I feel like you were that adamant to go on there and post it and, you know, write that whole thing, like, wouldn't you, when someone contacts you, get back to them? You know what I mean? Like, if it was. So, I mean, I think that was the biggest telltale sign besides, you know, obviously everything else.
Yeah, just definitely crazy because you don't get – I think he was he was suspended with pay, though, right? Like, I think he was – yeah, so he
– Yeah,
was,
I mean
– But still, nonetheless, see, like, that's damning of a character. Like, you know, like, right. you basically are the – especially what's going on with Team Canada, right? Like, that – everything needs to be taken seriously, though, but it's just scary. We live in a world now like that. That's, you know, it's just a random, you know, egg account.
Yeah. And you see, like, there's a guy in chat saying, I mean, he's spent it with Bay. Come on. But, like, realistically, guys, like, think about it this way. Every NHL arena that Ian Cole goes into now for the rest of his life, even though it was false, allegedly, he is going to get trashed for the rest of his career. Yeah. It's kind of like the Trevor Bauer thing, which, like, yes, you saw the pictures. He, you know, it was. Now Trevor Bauer, when he comes back next year in baseball, if he does, for the rest of his career, he's just going to be known for that. I mean, it's just, yeah, and that's the, you know, unfortunate part about it. But, I mean, like I said, if it was, you know, if there's other cases that come out, kind of like the Deshaun Watson thing, and it's like one after another, then
that was clearly an issue.
We'll see, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, what do you think about it, Kesso?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't look too much into this. I always think, you know, comparing those to the other ones, some of those other ones are pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's just one and brutal. Like, that's
it. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, we saw the Cleveland Browns give them, what, like, $240 million guaranteed.
Like,
yeah, so, yeah. Like, this is obvious. From the sounds of it, it's a little different. I don't know how I missed the story.
Yeah, dude, like,
it was just an anonymous Twitter account.
Literally an anonymous Twitter account posted a full, like, twit longer of, like, this is my experience.
Yeah.
And it was very detailed, and he legitimately got suspended from the team. They had to do a full investigation, which they should have done. But it was almost like he was guilty. Like, that's what that's what it viewed as. And then it was gone away like that. Like,
how long did the full process last?
Like, 3 days. Like, the whole thing went swirling.
I think they handled it pretty good, right?
Like, they definitely handled it good, like, but it's terrifying that that's what started it, right? Like, there was no.
Yeah.
The team addressed it. Like, they gave it legs, and then. So it was a scary situation. And I hope that it is, you know, obviously not true, obviously.
And it didn't help, too, that, like, Ian Cole, I don't know how much you guys know about it, but he had issues last season in Carolina. He hooked up with the Bally Sports.
Oh, that was
reporter.
A mess, too, man. That was
and she was getting married and her husband found out. And so, you know, you just start connecting the dots. People are like, look at this guy. He has terrible, you know,
character. Yeah, somebody asked if you're going to ruin a career, why Ian Cole? I mean, maybe that's why.
Yeah,
maybe.
I guess. Like,
hey, this is believable.
Maybe. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's a sad world we live in that this is what it's becoming. But, I mean, it is what it is. But nonetheless, it was a news story, and I felt like it was worth bringing up. Obviously, the other thing that I feel like is pretty big for the hockey world, considering, I mean, I feel like he's a legend of the game at least the last 10 or 15 years, but it's Carey Price is going to be talking on Monday. However, they said that he is not going to be retiring. At least that's not what the topic is. It's kind of just an update of what's going on with Carey Price. I mean, this guy's the best goalie in the last 10, 15 years that we've seen, I feel like, at least from a goalie. Maybe Vasilevsky will be proving me wrong here soon, you know, because he keeps adding to it, but... I mean, I hope Carey Price isn't done. It's just it'll be weird not having him in the Montreal crease if he you know calls it quits
Jake
after Al this
was
year.
Pretty good, by the way, just to throw that in there. Like the start of the season, he's been on. I've been doing this thing where I've watched like every game highlights at the beginning of my streams, like for every single day, and he has been absolutely nuts. But I think you're right about that. It's gonna be weird with Carey Price. I'm gonna say this. Like, I'm wondering if it's like the pressure of that city because Juran went through the same kind of thing, right?
And I never got that because whenever, like, I've watched him play, like, it always seems like he crushes the Penguins. Mm. But he had the same thing. But Drouin had the same thing in Tampa Bay with that whole situation.
Yeah, like,
if you guys remember that. Like, where he was, like, sent down, like, in the playoffs or something. Like,
hockey players are humans, right? Like, I feel like athletes aren't viewed as, like, humans. But it's just weird that, like, two players step away from the game because of, you know, what appears to be like mental health issues, and that's definitely important, especially if you're an athlete. Because think of all like what you're leaving; it's got to be serious, right? So, but it is weird that it was like two of the bigger name players for that team, and it's a big marquee team. So I'm wondering if like, you know, it's just the pressure there; it's huge. I mean, the same thing with Toronto, man. Imagine being the goaltender for the Leafs. Like that's why they haven't had a goaltender since like Cujo, because it's just like, you know, like you've got to. I don't know how you can forget about a bad game in a place that will never allow you to forget about a bad game, because it already started with Murray, you know, like, right. And now he's hurt.
Yeah,
I guess we can roll with it. Roll right into the
wait, real quick. If this is the end of Price, like I said, he might not be done. I've been told by literally one of his teammates that he thinks he's done. You know, so who's going to be Team Canada's goalies at the next?
Give me the list.
World Cup, you know, Olympics, whenever they play best on best again, who are we thinking? Are we thinking?
Okay, we're changing three. Know. Has to be three then, right?
Yeah, it has to be three. And
it's crazy that Carter kinda, Hart is one of them, probably.
Right. And like this time last year, Binner.
Yeah, it's probably Binner.
Yeah, dude. I was about to say him.
I will say this about Binner. A lot of people hate him, obviously, because he's like, you know, he does his goofy stuff. Like, whatever. It's fun for the game. I don't really care. I like stuff like that, honestly. But Binner's nails when the pressure's on. I mean, we've seen how good he is in the playoffs and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously Carter Hart.
Why?
There's some Tristan Jari. What do you think about that, Kessa?
Why?
Dude, thinking about it like this, though, like 15 years ago, or I guess it's like 20.
Yeah, I better bring that up, dude.
Like dude, the Canadian goaltending, like, it used to be like.
Best era goaltending of all time, though.
Yeah, like 20 years ago, whenever you're going like Waugh, Brodeur, and then whoever else was third that was probably still a Hall of Famer. Now it's like you have just really good players,
Why do you think it is that like the Ontario, like the CHL produces the like I would say the best the most impact superstar players in the world on forward and on defense for the most part, but like goaltender has never been Canada's strong suit outside of like Carey Price, like if you and then like Luongo too, like there was a good solid 10 years. Like the last 10 years, right? Where at the Luongo's at the end of his career. Where like Carey Price, but like after that, it was like Cam Ward. Like, you know, like, I wonder why that is. Like, is it because they're facing like the best, you know, forward prospects in the world and like they don't get the run? Like, I don't get why the Europeans are so good at it.
I'm going to assume it's just a like luck of the draw type thing, because you have like, there's only 30 starters in the league, right?
True, I guess.
And that's all there is. And only it's a limited pool. Like forwards, there's like such a huge pool, I guess, using that word again. I think it's just bad luck right now, right? Like it has to be.
Yeah, you guys want to know something?
We're recording this live for anyone listening or watching. Like someone brought up some names like Fleury.
Kemper.
Yeah, those are. But we're talking like if you compare the forward and decor of Team Canada, those are among the best players like in the world. And goaltender, for whatever reason, just always seems to be like a, eh.
Right.
You know, like, eh, like, that's pretty good. You know, it's weird. It's weird that it's just never been, they haven't had like a really, really high strong suit as compared to like Finland and Sweden, I guess. But I mean, I guess it's only held up by one person, I guess. Because when you think about it, like Lundqvist and Rene, and actually Rene never competed internationally, but still, like Kipper.
Right. I think. Like going back to that was also brought up the board governors of the World Cup of Hockey. The 2024 is like when the NHL wants to have it. Right now they're having some issues. I guess some of the countries are complaining about if Russians are involved or not. We'll see where that goes. But going back to like the World Cup, like talking about like who Team Canada's goalies be, isn't it pretty crazy to think the last World Cup they had, and Jeff Merrick brought it up when he came on the podcast with us, the greatest hockey team ever assembled is that Team North America.
Yeah.
And you go back and look at this roster.
Wait,
and
I always said this goalie for that was Carter Hart.
So, you know, Kessel like this. So here's the thing, though. This team made Team USA look so bad because Team Canada could have like two teams, right? Well, this team had like all of the best USA players at that time, in my opinion. Like from Eichel, Johnny Gaudreau, Dylan Larkin, Austin Matthews, JT Miller, Brandon Saad, Vinny Trocheck, Trouba. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like all those guys are probably on the national team now. I mean, no one knew JT Miller would score 40 goals and stuff like that. But the goalies were John Gibson, Connor Hellebuyck, and Kessel's
John Gibson was young enough. I feel like he's been the year for the league for like a decade.
And then Matt Murray was the goalie. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that's nuts. And that team, obviously they didn't go all the way or anything, but they were, now you look at that roster, like kind of like Merrick said, I mean, that thing's loaded with Hall of Famers now. I mean, you're going to be Hall of Famers. It's unbelievable.
That is nuts. Venom in chat brought up a good point that because the recent trend of minors is to not spend time on goalies that aren't at least 6'4". I'll be honest with you, like I watch every Ice Dog game in person. All of the goaltenders that are basically on other teams are massive. So I think there might be some credence to that. So, but yeah, man, like that is definitely going to be exciting. Obviously, we'll see what happens with Russia. Russia's probably not going to be involved in that. And there's an issue, I believe, the OHL is not allowing Russians to play in that either. And that was a pretty big feeder league because what would happen is they do an import draft on top of their normal draft. Like Daniil Gushkin for the Sharks, who was one of the best players in the OHL last year and one of the best Sharks draft picks, they're not allowed to play. They're not going to be allowed to play. So we'll see if how that all shakes out. But that Team North America, like that World Cup was what they can't have it at the beginning of the year, right? When do you have it? Let me ask you that. When would you guys have it?
If they're doing it, they're doing it now in the middle of the year. That's what they're doing
in the mid-season.
Yeah, like instead of like the All-Star.
Allow that?
That's what they're saying as of right now. That's the things I've read that they're going to do at mid-season, like the Olympics, essentially. So yeah, and I think the reason
that the players even want that.
I think the reason why is because they want to get Crosby in one last game, or they want to get,
sure,
you know,
yeah, like, oh, yeah,
these guys, you know, at the best on best. Dude, it's honestly a joke that we haven't seen these guys best on. Like going back to even just the Olympics, and it was like COVID related, but the time before that, it wasn't COVID related. Nope. It was just, you know, being greedy once again. I mean, dude, I experienced this firsthand. TJ Oshie, literally nicknamed TJ Sochi, like more people that had nothing to do with hockey knew who TJ Oshie was because of a shootout. And it just goes to show you how big of a, you know, draw the Olympics is. Because we watch events that we don't even watch the sport on a regular basis. Like, I watch swimming because, you know, Michael Phelps and yep. Katie Ledecky and whatever. I mean, Kessel, you know what I'm talking about, being an American. Like, you watch of those course. People, you know. So
it happens every 4 years or 2 years if you watch the Summer Olympics. I skip the Summer Olympics, but
not to mention, yeah, there's no game off like those guys, because like,
yeah,
it's a very unique like thing, because like everyone thinks it's like there's like the Stanley Cup and whatnot, which obviously players go all out for, but like again, it's only every 4 years, and you don't know how long, especially if you're a Canadian. Like if you're a Canadian or an American, like you, it's so much harder to make those teams just because of the like the actual amount of people there. So yeah, those games always end up being insane because like the players are just going absolutely all out. But man, like I think it was Tavares. Like it's like if you're an Islander fan and you're Canadian, like I don't like obviously in a perfect world like everything goes well. But dude, like if you're an Islander fan and like Barzal went down and you're like trying to make the playoffs as an Islander fan, like I don't know if you would be like okay. And I think the owner's like obviously that's why, right? Like, but they're also not making money. I'm certain that there's probably a big part of it where they're not making money. It's not so much the we don't want them to get hurt. Right,
they can't show highlights. They can't do any of that stuff. Which I think it's just there's so many dumb things. They need to figure that out. Like that is the best way to grow the game. If you're going to grow the game, honestly, it's just the international stage. I mean, I don't understand it. But I will tell you this: I'm excited to watch this future Team USA team. I think it is the best chance of ever.
I think it's
beating
the best
Canada. Right. I mean, you have maybe the greatest goal scorer, you know, in the NHL right now, in Austin. I mean, he is. It's obviously last year, but. You know, on Team USA now. I mean, they're humming. They're going to be really good, I think. But
yeah, like they're like that Team USA, like with Matthews and everyone, like that's probably the most high end talent. I mean, Matthews and Kane, like on the same line.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe like one more go. Like that would be a ton of fun. No doubt.
The Tkachuk brothers. I mean, there's so many. I didn't even think of that, dude. They're nasty, dude. It's gonna be a sick team. Eichel, you name it. Like they're loaded on forward. The other thing that happened. And it's kind of funny. I asked you this the other day about Timo Meier because I kind of look at these teams maybe in like the same spot where it's like they want to rebuild but they don't. They can't rebuild because of ownership. The Flyers and the Sharks. Now the Flyers have started off hot. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But Sanheim, 8 years, $50 million. It kind of reminds me of Meier. Now, obviously different positions, but you know the amount of money. I definitely think Meier is going to get more money, but kind of like. Surprising, I guess, that they signed him because there was, you know, trade rumors with him. There's been trade rumors with Provorov. But, I mean, big signing for a team that, you know, was getting a lot of flack a few weeks ago, you know?
Well, I think that if everyone isn't hurt, like, Couturier and Ellis are, like, back with, like, I said this in the first game of the season when Philly won, like that Torts is not going to allow them to lose easily. So like they're going to win games, more games than they should, because they're simply just not allowed to take a night off. You know what I mean? Like he'll just bag skate into the ground if they
yeah, and he'll be out of there in 2 to 3 years.
Exactly.
But they're always going to be a tough team to play against.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
let's talk about that. Like our biggest surprises. Mine is the Flyers. Like, I'll be honest. I knew they were going to work their bags off. I knew they were going to be, you know, the most fit team in the NHL. I did not see them coming out 3-0, and they just beat. They came back. They were down 2-0 in Tampa tonight, and came back and won. I think it was Tampa's home opener too, which is pretty impressive. And Tampa's kind of, you know, started out a little, you know, maybe let's just say fatigued. You know, they've been obviously playing a lot of hockey last few years, and I think they'll be perfectly fine. But wow, yeah, the Flyers are crushing it.
Yeah,
and
the Philly start is definitely the biggest surprise. Yeah. I think like they
Philly sports right now are hot.
They are, dude. They're buzzing. That city is on fire right now. Yeah, like, but I think it's not good. Like, I'm going through like the worst ever stretch of being a Sharks fan in my 20 years of being a fan. This is the worst effort level, least amount of interest, because there's like being bad. So like Seattle's bad. But you watch and are excited when Matty Beniers is on the ice because there's hope. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives you hope. Dude, Timo Meier's a free agent. So, like, this is so bad that, like, I think that now, even after the start, like, I think there's no way that he comes, that they sign him, but I don't know what they would do outside of it because they're 0-5. They just lost to the Islanders, and I'm happy about it because I would love them to get Connor Bedard. I think that there's something to failing at the right time that changes franchises more than anything. Like, you can end up winning the lottery and it could be Nico Hischier and Nolan Patrick. So the Flyers won and they got Nolan Patrick. You could fail and be in the bottom three and land Connor Bedard. Like, there's a time to, like, when something like that happens. Look at Edmonton before the, like, in the 2009 to 2012 era. Like, they got so lucky in the draft to get those, like, picks, but, like, they missed, like, Taylor Hall was obviously great, but, like, in sprinkled around it is, like, they didn't get Stamkos, they didn't get Tavares, and they won the Yakupov and Nugent Hopkins draft. Like, there's luck to that, because you can't take anyone else other than those guys, right? Like, that's how you get fired, and few GMs will ever be like, you know, like, they're not going to take, I'm trying to think of Lafreniere. Let's say they did, New York didn't take Lafreniere when he was the consensus number one, right? Even if you, as a general manager and a scouting staff, was like, I don't think Lafreniere is number one. Like, you can't not take him. I feel like in sports, like, I feel like that just doesn't happen very often.
We'll go back to the Eric Johnson draft with the Blues. Like, that's the one that people here freak out about because we didn't take Jonathan Toews or Nick Backstrom or Phil Kessel. And we took Eric Johnson, who... Yeah, like, he's had a solid NHL career, but he wasn't like the, you know, look at what happened with Toews, and it happened to be our biggest rival, and he's won 3 cups, you know what I mean? So it makes it look way worse, you know, when that kind of stuff happens. Same thing with, like, the Makar draft. I mean, people freak out about that draft
all the time. Like, that's luck again. Like, you had to take, it was Nolan Patrick and Hischier. Mm-hmm. And it was like those two had to be one of those two, and you win the draft lottery, because New Jersey and Philly both won the lottery to go 1 and 2, right? And Colorado got pushed back to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's just how it goes. Like, and like, so I think that, like, as a Sharks fan, this will be the highest we ever draft. I don't see how David Quinn can fix this because the team is 3 third lines and a second line with Timo Meier and Hurdle. And
I feel bad for David Quinn. He's the best looking coach in the NHL.
He's a good handsome
fella. He's had crap luck, because honestly, in the Rangers, I mean, you know, their ownership was a little testy. You know, the Dolans, and you know, they made the move real quick, and I mean, Gerard Gallant, I mean, he's a great coach too, but, you know, I thought he got a, you know, short end of the stick there. But I will say this, Lees, I know I told you I think it's going to be the Coyotes, but if it's you, the Yotes, and the Hawks, I think you guys have the best chance of making, because I've always said, I think the NHL draft is rigged, and you guys have never had a pick like that. Like, the Coyotes, I don't think the NHL is going to help, because they could be getting Austin Matthews in a few years, and then, you know, the Hawks have had, you know, plenty of, you know, success. I don't know, man. I have a feeling, like, if you guys really do finish in, like, the bottom five, bottom three, whatever, you guys are going to somehow get it. Now, I told you guys this off podcast. The Coyotes, though, they have a 14-game road trip. I legitimately think they might start 5-20 in the first 25 games. I mean, that team is
brutal. Look dreadful. They look so I have no idea how they beat Toronto.
I watched the Toronto game, like, and it looked like, dude, it looked like playing a hut hero. Like, it was, like, hemmed in the zone, couldn't bury, one rush, and they scored. Like, it was, like, I was watching it. I'm like, dude, Toronto is going to eat them alive. And then Toronto, like, went full Toronto. And it was so set up, too. Like, you could, the betting line, did you see the betting line? The money line was -550.
For dude, they say game. They say anything greater than like +300, you should always bet on.
100%. Like there was people in my thing in my chat being like, dude, like I'm gonna take the Leafs and like parlays and stuff. I'm like, dude, the puck line for the Coyotes was -2.5. I was like, you rarely ever see something like that in the NHL. Like football happens all the time because it's very like it's much more predictive. Hockey is like there's a lot of luck in hockey. So to see a line that was -500, I was like, that is absurd. And my lord, yeah, Arizona.
Only the Leafs, boys. Only the Leafs. And they're one of my biggest busts so far this year. I mean, just because of the unfortunate of Matt Murray happening. I mean, who knows how good he would have been this year, anyways.
Dude, like that was baked into like the issues, like when they acquired.
Yeah, him. But whenever we talked about it, like, I don't even think that matters. That doesn't matter at all. That injury. Like, I love Matt Murray, but he's not moving the needle at all for that team. Who do they have in there now? Who's the backup?
Samsonov, who played half decent, but I believe he got hurt. Yeah, and Shalgren had to play for them. And
it doesn't matter.
They need Jack Campbell, who also has actually looked awful before he got hurt for Edmonton. But God, like I don't see how Toronto doesn't make the playoffs, no matter what. Like they will.
No,
make the playoffs.
That'd be. I've seen some crazy overreactions over the past week, especially after that loss. Like they're going to be in there. They're going to be the number one or number two seed.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Can we talk about overreactions? My goodness, the Minnesota Wild fans, you guys need to calm down. You guys will be fine. Dude. Good grief.
Like I said, I watched all trashing, every highlight.
Trashing Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, just get a grip. You guys have been scoring a lot of goals. You just can't keep the puck out of your net. Your team defense has been horrible. I think they'll be fine, though. Like, people need to
relax. I don't know,
though,
man. Like, so, like, I said this like a couple years ago, like when the Suter and Parise deal went down and they went all in, which is like a ballsy move. Like, that was an all-time ballsy move because they have $12 million or $14 million dead against the cap right now. No team has ever come close to winning a cup with that, right? Like, ever. So the fact that they went and did that, and but they had Rossi and Boldy who, like, needed to, like, stay up. I watched those. Like I said, I watched all the highlights from every one of those games. Dude, there was a lot of goals that were on the goaltender. And like if Fleury does not post like a 912 to 915 save percentage, which is above league average, like it is gonna be Kaprizov is ridiculous. Like he is not Ovechkin because that's not a fair comparison, but he is someone who can take over an entire shift, like kind of like McDavid and McKinnon to an extent. Like there's not many players that can wheel around, cycle himself, feed it to someone to get it back, and like he scored a goal the other night where it was basically he went all the way around the offensive zone past I believe it was to Zuccarello and got it right back and scored an unbelievable shot. Like he is really fun to watch. But yeah, Minnesota, I think they'll be okay because the Pacific, the West in itself is still really weak. Like I think that it's last year it was probably the weakest it's been in 20-30 years. Like
especially the Pacific this year, like I legit think it's just Calgary, Edmonton, and Vegas. And Vegas has been, they're not really a surprise, but I think for hockey fans, maybe they're a surprise.
I think people thought they were done.
People thought they were like going to be
awful.
People
don't watch the Pacific. Like,
yeah, it's like, man, they have some unbelievable players that have been banged up. I mean, look at their roster last year. Like I said, and you guys know I talked to Pietrangelo a decent amount, and he told me, you know, I played through a ton of injuries just to keep the team afloat, and they missed the playoffs by 2 points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and Logan Thompson
Bortolo,
has been,
Thomas Bortolo ended there running a shootout. That was the Sharks Cup last year.
And I think, you know, with him, you know, with Logan Thompson being in net, I actually think he might give them a better chance right now than Leonard. I mean, Leonard has been kind of a mess since he signed there. I mean, he was good, I guess, that, you know, the short season with Fleury, but I don't know. I mean, I think that, from what I hear, like his hips are pretty messed up, his knee, like everything's pretty messed
Logan
up. But
Thompson looks good. That LA game to start the season, like he looked great in that game. But yeah, like I think Vegas, like Calgary, man, Calgary looks good. Like, Calgary looks like everything that, like, it was anticipated, that they would be a better hockey team. Maybe not in the future, but, like, right now they're better than what they were last year. And I've watched a lot of Edmonton, too, and, man, it is... I don't remember, like, I have a hard time remembering, like, personally as a fan, like, I have a hard time remembering Thornton, Marlowe, and, like, Heatley and Chichu, like, those, like, years of the Sharks where they'd hop over the boards and it would be almost a goal, like, every, like, third shift. And when you watch Edmonton and the second McDavid and Draisaitl decide that they want to, like, score, it, like, there's nothing that can be done. And on the power play, I think they hold the puck on the power play for under, like, a second and a half. And they just whip it around. Like, I think they were down 3-0 to Vancouver in the first, like, I believe right at the beginning of the second period, and just rattled off 5 straight. And then they did the same thing against Calgary and almost came back against them. Like, that's going to be really, I think that the Pacific is really top heavy. Like, Vegas, Calgary, and Edmonton are going to beat up on each other. But after that, like, I think it's pretty wide open. I mean, like, LA kind of is hit or miss to start.
Dude, they've been having some crazy games so far, though. What's
Quick
going
looks
on
like
there?
Quick looks like not last year Jonathan Quick, the prior 3-year Jonathan Quick, which was statistically.
Dude, I like look at the score and it's like 6-5, like 7-5 or something. Mm-hmm. There's no defense being played.
So you're the stat guy. You should like figure this out for me. This first week has got to be one of the highest scoring weeks in NHL history for like the start of the year. I've never seen. Some of the game, like 7,
so
6.
I have like a stupid memory. There was a year in like 2003, okay? And yeah. I swear there was like a 10-0 or like 10-5 win
from the lockout, bro. Where they, it was before was the point score.
Mark Parrish was like the leading scorer for like a couple weeks in the NHL. That was a very high scoring time. One more thing as we talk about numbers, we have to talk about the old guys crushing it so far, or maybe old guys. Stamkos still has his fastball.
Yeah, he's going off. Tampa does not.
Tampa does not, but they'll be fine. We know that.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. Ovi just had a 4-point night. He's Crosby, first star of the week. Was he first star of the week?
He should. I don't know if he was. If they did like a thing like that, but he should.
Yeah, he was something. I thought they had 3 stars. Malkin looks really good still.
Pittsburgh looks like this is their last run. And
they
I feel
look
like the
really
team
good.
Knows it. Like the team, like, you know what I mean? Like those guys like know it.
They look really good. So one thing I know you guys wanted to bring up was like the Montreal thing. So I know you mentioned like Toronto, the 2 losses to Montreal and Arizona. Like Montreal doesn't look that bad. Like they beat the Penguins. They held the Crosby line like in check the whole game. I'm kind of surprised at how decent they look.
I feel like when you think about like what professional sports teams, like dude, they're professional sports teams still. Right, like I feel like I think like now when you think of like a team that's gonna be bad, like Arizona, that they're gonna go 0-82. Montreal, like I think the Martin St. Louis thing is the same as Torts. Like I think Martin
well, that's
St.
what we
Louis
mentioned whenever we were making our predictions on this. It was like I know you guys had them finishing in last. I think I had them second to last, but there was like that wiggle room for like, is he like a really good players coach?
Well, yeah, like I mean, like he like famously is like saved Caulfield. And dude, he has a great shot. Annoyingly, because Montreal fans are the worst. But sorry, Canadians, man.
It's a rocket.
Everyone knows when Caulfield scores is what I'm getting at. So, yeah, man. And I also think that was their Stanley Cup opening night against Toronto. Like that's their Stanley Cup. So, But Jake Allen looks really good. Like he looks really good. And
Snake's always been good, I feel like, when the pressure's not on, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and there's not high expectations, and there's not really high expectations in Montreal, so he's kind of just doing his thing. But they're bitter rivals. We have to talk about the Boston Bruins. Phenomenal start, considering, I mean, just the injuries and everything. I mean, I did not see this coming. They had a wild one tonight in Ottawa, and I believe it was the Senators' home opener, too.
7-5.
Yeah, they won 7-5, which is, you know, that was a fun game to watch. But the Bruins, like... I mean, they're humming right now. You know, bringing Krejci back obviously has helped a ton. You know, DeBrusk, you know, taking down his, trade request, that helps a lot. And then, you know, another team, so you might be able to touch on this better than anybody, but Peter DeBoer down there in Dallas. I mean, that guy is the best at getting the most out of the team
first-year coach, bro. Dude, he is unreal. The ultimate first-year coach.
Right.
It is nuts. Boston, I don't know why. I've always said this. Like, I love the Patriots and the Red Sox, and I hate the Boston Bruins. And I don't really know why. And I think it was just because when I grew up, I was like, my dad, my whole family like loved the Leafs, and I watched the Leafs so much. And I'm assuming that's why I really don't like the Boston Bruins. I never have. it is so frustrating in the playoffs. If you're not like a Boston Bruin fan, you have to pencil in a goal for their first line. Like, win or lose, like Pasternak, Bergeron, or Marchand will score a goal, and then like the rest of the chips may fall. And it looks like, dude, that Pasternak, dude, he hears that dollar sign. That Brinks truck is just backing itself up every game because he is he is going to make a lot of money. I think Boston, early reaction, I had them not making the playoffs, I think, because I think that they're very top heavy, and I think that I thought the injuries would finally catch up because they wouldn't be able to stay afloat. But yeah, like that, I think there is something about chemistry that just in hockey,
it, dude, it's that sport, Chara effect. It's still there, man. It passed on to Bergeron. It's going to be there as long as they're there.
There's something about Bergeron, Krejci, Pasternak that, like, you know, and then when they get Marchand back, and if they're within striking distance, and same with McAvoy, like, dude, they're a wagon at that point. Like, if they if both of them get healthy, like, man, that would be something else. Dallas, though, I think, like, they're a team that, like, no one pays attention to nationally, right? Like, much like with the Sharks, that, like, so I get that. I've been watching a couple of their games, and Mason Marchman looks gross. And then you combine that
He had that crazy goal, right? Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy good goal. And Jason Robertson looks phenomenal. That, and Heiskanen is going to, like, he's going to get Norris votes soon. Like, I feel like he's going, like, the Hedman trajectory where the first couple years he was good, but then he had, like, that 60, 70-point season. And I feel like that's what, like, Heiskanen is missing. But, like, it'll come. They look really good. The one team I want to bring up is Detroit. So I watched a couple of their games their opening night. They look really good. That Larkin play, dude.
That's still, like, that has to be the play of the year, like, 5 months from
Arvidsson
now. I've never seen that before.
Like, I couldn't believe crazy. It. My chat, like, blew up because I was still streaming at the time. Like, you see the Larkin play, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, he actually stopped that. And I was like, this is sick. And then I didn't realize they actually tied it. Like, could you imagine Arvidsson on the bench? Like, you are... Like, it's silent. Like, it's your fault.
I feel like no matter what, though, like, that was just an amazing play. It's not like the Patrick Stephon situation where he, like, blows a tire and he, like, falls down on the breakaway.
I guess that was bad. Like, that was just a great... He was trying to tuck that into bed. Like, he brought that into the crease.
That was just, like, an all-time play.
And then Ronick. I think even crazier was the pass off the boards back, and, like, it was just another tap-in, too, like, right after Larkin got that, and Ronick made this diving play. It was just wild. But Huso looks good. And that giant line, I can't wait for that to be just in hut.
Do they have a nickname yet?
No, but they're just ogres. Like, they're just absolutely gigantic. And Soderblom looks like he's just massive. And, like, 6'6 or 6'5 and 6'8 and 6'3, like, that line is
it's Sonny Rasmussen and Soderblom, and right?
Soderblom, yeah.
Yeah, Sonny is a good friend of mine, and my buddy's. He is one of the best guys ever in Kessel. I know you had him a little bit in Pittsburgh, and he is just what a player. And talk about an ogre. He is one ugly looking dude. Oscar Sundquist. I love him though. I'm so happy for those guys in Detroit because I feel like
he got a cup there in St. Louis, right?
Yeah, he was a crucial part in us winning the cup. Him and Barbashev on that fourth line, they were unbelievable.
Yeah, I was glad he worked out there because, like, it just never worked out in Pittsburgh. Because I had high hopes for him, and then it just, like, nothing really happened.
Right, yeah, he's an awesome player. And then I think we got to finish off talking about the teams with, every night I see it, like, when they play, it's like the New Jersey Devils and Lindy Ruff
I've personally had enough of the New Jersey. I tweeted about this, dude. Like, in a year where I need the Sharks to win the lottery, I need the Devils in the playoffs. Like, I need them to just be done with messing around. Lindy Ruff, they came back and won tonight. I can't believe they won tonight because I'm pretty sure they were losing. But they do not look good, and they have a ton of talent, and the number one prospect in the NHL, and Luke Hughes, he still hasn't even played yet. Like, I tweeted this out as well. Third round pick for James Reimer, and it solves both the Sharks and Devils problems. Like, the Sharks have no hope because James Reimer still is a great goaltender, and they need someone that can stop the puck just even a little bit. And I think that they're fine. I think they'd be a wild card team, but. Actually, I think they only need to get outside the top 12 to not be in the lottery. I can't remember because it's now different with 32 teams. I don't think it's the bottom 16. I think it's the bottom 12 are in the lottery. All the new lottery rules are there's a lot of them. But yeah, I need the Devils out of there. They just need to stop messing around. Lindy Ruff is gone.
Or just trade for Craig Anderson. I mean, that guy, too. 41 years old.
Good for the Sabres.
He's the most ugly looking style goaltender. He's like the old school goalie. And he just kicks him, dude. He's unreal. Like
Alex
that was another
Tuck
guy
buried one on a breakaway in the second game of the season. I'm drawing a blank at who it was against. I want to say it was Ottawa, or Florida. I think it was Florida. And I lived in Buffalo for like 7-8 years, and during their like best seasons, and like used to go to all their games. There is something to say about someone who is having a blast and wants to be in Buffalo that is like super endearing. He scores and DMX starts pumping out of that place and he's going nuts. Like it was, I want Buffalo to be so good. And the fact that Alex Tuck is like there just having a blast and he wants to be there is just super good. Like I hope to God I still don't know if they can figure it out. I think they're going to mess with their draft. I think it's one of those years where if they were bad one more season, like real bad, they would have a shot at like Mishkov or someone like, you know, maybe Fantilli, yeah. Like someone like, and one more impact prospect. And I think that it's their roster's half decent now where they're going to like just mess themselves out of a play or a player like that. But yeah, they've been fun. They have been fun.
Before we get on the next topic, this podcast is brought to you by Gamersaloon.com, our main sponsor here. If you want to put your money where your mouth is, that's the saying, right? Go on Gamersaloon.com, deposit 50, 20 bucks, whatever it is. Play against some people, get better at the game. That's how me and Padre became experts at NHL, right? Right, Padre?
Oh yeah, I love Gamersaloon. Great site.
We love Gamersaloon.com. The link's at the bottom on Spotify, on the YouTube link as well. We love Gamersaloon.com.
Yes, sir.
It's made us a lot of money. It's the best way to improve at the game. NHL, Madden, you can play a bunch of games on there. I played Hydro Thunder, a wager match on Hydro Thunder back in like 2009. Duchesne, three
Let's
shots.
Go, the
Let's
go. Prop.
Let's
wait,
go.
Wait.
Are you sure?
That's what we need to get to next. I need to hear for anybody that's out there listening, follow Kesso for tail his picks.
We're not financial advisors, dude.
I'm not saying that. Explain to everybody your shot props.
Let me see. I have to see this stat go through, and then I'll be happy.
That's a parlay game, brother.
He's
I've tailed you the whole time. I think I'm happier than you are. I want this to work. Give the people the how.
All right, guys. So what I'm assuming here. So you guys, you can bet on shot props, right? In most of the sports books, they set out lines for players. Duchesne tonight, his line's 2.5 over under. I think the over was like -110. I pulled stats from Natural Stat Trick and some other things, and I compared it to the books. So like looking at Duchesne, he hit that over. Like it was like 54 to like 57% of the time last year. And then you look at the implied odds that the sports book has, right? So -110 is implied like 52% of the time that should hit. So if he hits it 57% of the time, I also look at like the matchup, you have to assume you have like a 5% advantage there compared to the books. I can't talk right now. Mostly I found most of the lines are priced near what I think the percentages should be. But then you find like some like the Duchesne one tonight. Dougie Hamilton's line was 2.5.
How did you find that? What did you do to figure out that is a good bet?
Yeah, so Dougie Hamilton was -140 at over 2.5. The implied odds, I think, was like 56% or 54%. Last year, he hit it 64% of the time. So that's a 10% gap that you have over that, right? So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at shots against per game, Corsi as well. Another thing I'm looking at is players where the roles haven't really changed. So Dougie Hamilton's somebody that's really in that, like, he's the quarterback there. Like, he's taking those shots. Like, you know how Dougie Hamilton plays. Werenski was another one of those tonight where, like, his role hasn't changed with the team. Especially, like, early on in the season, like, you have, like, new coaches, new systems, players shifting teams. I'm looking for those players that are in, like, the same type of role, possibly on the same team.
Yeah, man.
So I've been posting every single day on Twitter, twitter.com/queso_Pagoonie. I don't know if I'll be profitable long term. Like I'm only up like after tonight, it might be like 8 to 10 units
in 5 days, unit. Bro.
Yeah, in 5 days, but that's I could lose it all. You
could.
Know,
I mean, last night was your first like losing that, I think.
It was a bad one.
55% is like an insane. Like,
yeah, so right. I'm just seeing if like I wanted to give it a shot. A lot of that comes from you see these people on Twitter that are posting like they're winning tickets only, and they're like, I'm up 200 units. Like, I wanted to track this from the start, like give it a month or two and see what happens, you know?
So you're getting all this data, though, from Natural Stat Trick, right?
I'm getting it from Natural Stat Trick. I also pulled literally every shot that was taken in the NHL last year from, I forget what the site was. So, like, if it missed the net, whatever, like, I also pulled that
data.
So,
like a full course.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I had to find, like, it was, like, a CSV file of, like, 150. Oh, nice. Tuck just hit the over. Let's go.
Dude, that is nuts. I think you're 9 for 10. That's nuts.
I'm going to miss Eichel.
And Shabbat. Yeah, Shabbat and Eichel, I think.
Yeah, and Fiala.
We should track these, like, even though I know it'll be, like, dated, but just to see, like, you know, maybe, like, you show your line for the night that we record and then go back to it and be like, well, you know, this is how good Kessel is hitting on these things. You know what I mean? Just something like
that. Yeah, like I said, I've been posting them every day on Twitter, just, you know, just as proof, I guess. I know people have been tailing me because, like, I get messages and stuff, or, like, Sleeves, I know you've been shouting it out on the stream here. So it's been fun. Like, combines my my nerdy Excel and other things with, like, sports. So it's been a lot of fun.
Let's do this. Pull up the division standings for the NHL currently. Actually, sorry, wild card. Let's do the wild card standings.
Yeah, let's do the wild card.
Let's do overachievers. So we'll just quickly go through and see on the four divisions of the three teams that are in the division spot right now. Or this is extremely early. We're only like 3 or 4 games in. But are there any in the Eastern Conference, in the Metro Division, we can all agree that overachiever right now, teams that are going to fall back down are Philly. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be 3-0, and they're not going to be a playoff team. The Rangers look like they don't have to rely on Shesterkin this year. I actually think that they are going to go to
the Cup. Which is scary.
Yeah, dude, like, all the games I watched, it was a lot like Edmonton, where, like, they got humming, and it was just, they were just shelling whatever team they were going up against. And when you have, the best goaltender currently in the NHL, like, I don't know. Lafreniere and Capo, they look like legitimate top six players, and I think that changes everything for them. So, that sucks for Twitter. let's do the Atlantic. Boston, Detroit, and Florida. Any overachievers?
I'm going to say Detroit, just because I feel like... Yeah,
Detroit temporarily. We know they'll be there in like 2 years.
Toronto was in there this year. Like, Toronto will fan.
I told you guys, I really like Florida. I think they...
Oh, same. Yeah.
I think they really brought... I know a lot of people are down on them because of their decor. You know, talk about a team that could be a dark horse for Chychrun. I think they could be a dark horse for Chychrun. That makes a lot of sense to me there. Does, yeah. But the way they play it, I love the nastiness Matthew Tkachuk's brought to the team. You saw them... Every game, he's just getting in scrums, causing a ruckus. Him and Lomberg and Sam Bennett. Like, you know, they had like a little mini brawl last night in Boston. And then a few nights before, he's got Alex Tuck in the media, you know, griping about him. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk's a gamer. I think they've just become more well-rounded. I think in the move to the Central Division, the West, I'm going to be honest. I think, like, Nashville won't hold that 3 spot. I mean, here's the thing. The Blues have only played 1 game. I think the Blues will be in the top 3.
Yeah,
it's just the schedule's super weird. I actually had a buddy of mine text me.
The schedule, dude.
Listen to this though: the Blues play 31 games in 62 days, but every team is doing that. Like after, like the Bolts play like 33 and 66. Colorado plays 33 and 65. Like, what's going on with the schedule? I don't understand. Why is it so weird?
I don't understand. Like, I'm wondering if they signed with ESPN, right? Like, that's their new TV deal.
Yes.
There is no, dude, how there is no Sunday games on the opening weekend of the season is mind boggling to me. Like, I could not believe it. I thought it was a joke. Someone was like, there's no hockey tonight. And there's too many days where there's just nothing, right? Like, it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That's it. And, like, I don't know. It's just, you have to, it's an 82 game season. So, like, you're just ramming them all in.
It sucks because, like, we look at, like, tomorrow night, there's 3 games on.
Yep.
And that's just terrible. Like, I hate it because, like you said, it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, pretty much. And then whenever NFL season's over, maybe they'll spread it out a little bit more. You'll get those afternoon games where it's like Chicago and Boston every single time.
I talked to a rep that works at the NHL this summer when I was doing the GWC, and they were, remember when COVID happened and they this whole season got jacked up and they played in the summertime, right? There was like real consideration of like starting the season like in January because their attendance numbers go through the roof the second like February ends, because college it's all in the States because Canada sells out almost everywhere.
Yeah.
All throughout the year. But yeah, the second college and the NFL is done, there's a huge spike. And yeah, early on, like they're not willing to play. And ESPN is like so big into football that like I'm just wondering if that.
Oh, yeah. And they're afraid of, I think they're afraid of the ice issues. I mean, you hear about it all the time. I mean, you've seen it in San Jose. They always bring in those, like, what are those things called? Like the humidor. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, they bring them in like during the playoffs. It's, you know, like the ice would be so bad if they played in the summertime. I mean, I always said I wish it was like a summer sport in the Olympics because, you know, like I don't know, like in basketballs, you know, it's like, I don't know, all the sports like in the Olympics, like some of them like don't make sense to me. I wish hockey was a summer sport so then it wouldn't conflict with the season. Then you wouldn't have all those issues. But
yeah,
I agree. Weird schedule so far. Yeah, I don't know.
The Pacific's got Vegas, Calgary, L.A. So the Campbell injury, and now it's Stuart Skinner. It's Stuart Skinner's crease in Edmonton. Like I said, man, they are McDavid is unbelievable. You know what? We were talking about, like, I was talking about this on stream today. Crosby is, like a version of, like, Jonathan Taves. Like, he is probably one of the greatest leaders, like, of all time. Like, when he retires. Like, and an all-time great player.
I'm just offended by that comparison, but
in the view that Jonathan Taves has won everything, like, on every level. Yeah, like, and he's viewed as a leader, right? He's viewed as a leader. And Crosby is that, only he's 10 times a player. But what McDavid does, like, McDavid is the Gretzky. It's not Crosby and Gretzky.
I agree with you.
I think Crosby's like Michael Jordan-ish. Like, just a winner. Like, I guess it's a bad example, but like, because like McDavid's LeBron, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to get.
Yeah. It's like the Crosby. I don't even know how you compare him because he's just good at everything.
Yeah, like he's a much better defensive player.
But yeah, he's not over physically talented, right? Like couldn't say like, oh, he's quick. Oh, he has like the best shot. Yeah, that's really what it is.
But McDavid, man, watching Edmonton, it is astounding how whenever McDavid wants to create a dangerous chance, he just does. Like in a sport that requires like a lot of luck, right, and a lot of bounces and stuff like that. I think that's what separates those great guys because they'll just create it themselves. And I don't see how Edmonton will make the playoffs, even with their goaltending issues. But let's do some underachievers. The Leafs, they'll figure it out. I think we can agree with that. Montreal, losses to Montreal and Arizona, while hilarious, they'll figure that out. Any other ones that are really egregious? Tampa's 1-3. That's not
concerning. Yeah, that is, but they'll be fine.
Minnesota would be like big time underachiever. Vancouver.
I think Vancouver might like have like that's between the ears, man. They blew four straight multi-goal leads to start the year. Every single game they led by two and they blew all four of them. That is
And
that's 8 points. Like
Kessa knows Jim Rutherford, he will not be putting up with that long. He will be wheeling and dealing if he has to soon, and it could be a big shakeup. You never know with that guy.
Dude, I liked him for like 2 to 3 years, two cups, but after that, it's like, what's going on here?
No, absolutely. All right, let's do Calder watch. Kalen Addison had a huge night, and he's leading the NHL currently in points for rookies with four. Beniers and McTavish, who were kind of the favorites, odds-on favorites. Beniers looks fantastic. You see what happened with Shane Wright, though? Six minutes of ice time.
Yeah,
he's
going back
to the OHL.
I thought you meant like something happened to him. Yeah, he'll go back to the OHL. I've seen his ice time.
It's really hate for the Ice Dogs.
But yeah, he looks a little. I know it's early.
COVID messed him up more than almost every other prospect. Yeah. Like, he was on the trajectory. He was elite, like early. What is that called? Exceptional status. Like, in the OHL. Looked like he was going to be a rock, like, solid stud, like Stamkos and Tavares, and played, like, a great, like, defensive game, which is something that in the OHL, it doesn't really happen, Major Junior, that doesn't really happen very often on top of his ability to score. And, yeah, the COVID just, taking away that first season after your rookie one, like, when you're 15 and you're a kid, That next season, losing that is that one's pretty brutal. So, but yeah, Beniers and McTavish, they look really good. And then lastly, the Bedard watch, dude. My Sharks, I cannot believe. Like I said, this is the worst I've ever seen them look in 20 years. And the year that they got Joe Thornton, they lost 10 games in a row, and then got Joe Thornton. I gotta say. Yeah. Doug Wilson isn't picking up the phone. He just got a ceremony for for his contributions to the Sharks, and I still firmly believe, bias aside, that he is one of the best general managers in the NHL that we've seen, and for various reasons. Obviously didn't win a cup, but the trades that he made, I mean, we love Berkey. Like, we love Brian Burke on Hockey Central. They used to talk about stories how, like, you used to never call about a team's best player because it was assumed that you just wouldn't get it. And Doug was the first general manager that he's had when he was a general manager to, like, call about your team's best player. And he would find a way to get it done. And he did it multiple times and kept that team among one of the best for 16 years. And there's no one coming. Like, Bedard.
Dude, it's going to be awful. I've been there with my team before. It sucks to watch. It's like, I hope to God for your sake you get Bedard. Because if not, it's going to be a while.
Like, I don't even want... That's the thing, man. Getting two in this year's draft because of Michkov's situation is, like, the most devastating general manager spot ever. Because that's, like, 3 years, you're not going to get him. And then you got to go through the song and dance if he wants to come over when that's done. And it's like, oh, man. Like, you... Because it's crazy. When you miss on a top five pick, you just waste an entire season. You know? Like, when you think about it, you waste an entire season.
So you mentioned Timo Meier's contract. You said that's up after this season?
Yeah, he's a free agent after this year, yeah.
So are they going to move him at the deadline then?
I didn't think there was any chance that they would because of Hurdle signing for... They signed a Hurdle for 8 years. And like I said, the ownership just will not allow a teardown rebuild, right? And so they signed Hurdle, and they would find a way to get Meier done, and I'm assuming it'd probably be like $9 million, like another one of those stupid...
But here's my issue with it, though. Like, this team's at least 3 to 4 years away, right?
That's the thing, man. Like, it might be longer than that. Like, this.
Yeah, it might be. So, like, if you do re-sign him, it's like a $9 million thing. Like, he's in year four, year five of that contract. Mm-hmm. You might have, like, somebody else that's, like, up for, like, a re-signing or something, whatever, like... Dude, get a haul for him.
I don't know
that at all. Is like from a general manager perspective.
I don't know. They have to now, like, because there's no way that the team is going to make the playoffs. They're five games in. They've lost all five. They've scored less than two goals in every single game, or two goals or less in every single game, and there is no one that can score. Eklund and Bortolo will come up, and it will at least be entertaining to watch. Because right now, it is not fun watching Luke Cunnan as a first line left winger. And Matt Benning being the top four on the back end. Like, it's real rough. But at least it'll be exciting when a like I was mentioning about Beniers, like, it's Seattle. You know Seattle's bad, but at least when Beniers hops over the boards, there's, like, hope. And you get to, like, be excited when you watch him. Because if he scores and has points and does things well, you're happy about it. Until those two get up in the lineup, I'm like, ugh. The Barracuda look great. But if they get Bedard, man, here's the thing. If the Sharks get Bedard and they keep getting a little bit more cap room, because, like, Vlasic will be bought out at the end of this year, and, you know, LeBanc can be moved, and, like, they can sign people and have Bedard, and, like, there's still enough there that you could be a playoff team. Like, I strongly believe that, because I think if you can get a 60 to 80 point player for $900K, that significantly changes the outlook on, like, almost any team, right? Because Meier and Hurdle are both fantastic players, so put Bedard there, and then you have, like, you know, but I did not think it was actually going to be in the realm of possibility. I thought they'd finish, like, 7-10, but after this first 5 days, whoo, man, Chicago, they were beating Chicago 2-0, and Chicago scored two shorthanded goals within the span of 2 minutes, and I was like, okay, here we go. We lost the Bedard Bowl, and here we go. So it is what it is. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, just a shout out to Gamer Saloon again for the sponsor. Wouldn't be here without them.
No, absolutely, guys. Make sure that you check out Gamer Saloon if you are looking to play some competitive money games on NHL, Madden, whatever you want to play is the safest place to do so. But yeah, guys, that is going to do it for episode 51 of Coffee and Shell. Let us know in the comment section down below what you thought, and we'll be back next week to recap everything that was going down in the NHL. All right, guys, have a good one.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.